Good. Okay. Great to see everyone. Let me jump right into it. Sure, run a little shorter on time today. So, Is Christianity fair? And that's a question. And to anyone feel like they want to answer it. Is Christianity fair when you think about it from what's required of us to make it to heaven, what we experience in the world, what we see, what others are allowed to do, seem like the freedoms they have, the fun they have, is it fair? Do you think it's fair? Yes or no? Or does anyone want to take that, just step out on that? Go ahead. Right.
You know, it's fair being just. Like, you get what you deserve. If that's the case, then it's not fair. We deserve a lot worse than we than what Christianity has come up with.
Okay.
If it's fair, like, you know, my neighbor gets to do this and that, and things seem to work out fine for him, but God says don't be doing that, then, it doesn't seem
point. Anyone else? Okay. I like that response, James. Thank you. And that's kind of where I was wanting to go with that. And it is kind of decided and depends on the way you look at it, right? Is it fair for us? Yeah. No, it's more than fair. And for us as Christians, right? But if you look at it from a worldly standpoint, sometimes it might seem like it's not because of the high roads we might have to take, what we call high roads, and other, you know, experiences that we have that, you know, we have to deal with in situations. So if you look at it from the world standpoint, from a worldly standpoint, with treasures are back there, Christianity can sometimes can be included in that, and we have to do a good job of what separating the world standards versus Christ's standards. And just from a worldly standpoint, you can look at some of the, like a corporation, you know, they'll have, you know, how they look for employees, how they train employees, who manages them, who supervises them. And so I guess if you want to relate Christianity somewhat to that, you could. You can look at that as also, who does Christ to follow him? Who does Christ look to follow him? He looks for those who has a willing heart. He looks for those who honor the Father and follow his commandments. And that's what we are to be about. So also, we cover what is unfair. We'll apply it also to another application. Is it fair that men have to sacrifice their bodies for our families, for our wives, for our children? Some people look at that as unfair, and some people not. But it shouldn't be, because God requires us to do that as Christians, if you relate it to the Christian standpoint. Who he finds a wife finds a good thing. If a man does not provide for his family, he is worse than an unbeliever. And so forth. So I do know this, though. When it comes to unfairness, we can talk about what is not fair and relate that to God. I tell you that. So he gave his only son, constantly ignored and rejected by millions daily, not acknowledged by those who he very well created, and constantly hurt by his children, us. So as I was putting this lesson together, and I think that's one of the, I was thinking about it from a standpoint of how often have I used that word, oh, that's not fair. Well, from a Christian standpoint, it was never really designed to be. And so when God made this sacrifice for us, he saw that it was needed in his mind. He saw that what he instructed Christ to do on earth and what he instructs us to do, he felt the need for it. And so that's all that we should know, and that's all that that we should try to live according to. That's how we should try to live. So how about Jesus Christ nailed to the cross? Any fairness in that? If he want to look at it from that carnal mind, any fairness to that? Mocked and tempted by Satan, rejected by non-believers. Is there any fairness to that? No, it's really not. And so as we transition and live throughout our and walk our Christian faith and walk our Christian life, what are some things as it relates just to Christians now that maybe as it relates to the church sometimes that we look at as unfair? Speaking specifically from the church standpoint, what are some things that maybe has been brought up or some we've all been in the church for a decent amount of time, most of us. What are some of the things maybe that can be looked at as unfair as it relates to Christianity? Or maybe some things that you don't have to necessarily give a lot of detail, but just some general.
Well, I kind of equate this to back when I was just a child, and my mother was unfair. She let me do things that other kids would have
gotten. Right.
And so if we bring that forward into the church.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's tough. And it's really tough. And old soldiers gonna throw that at you if you don't stand. That's not fair.
Can't wait. Thank you, Jim. Oh, go ahead, Devin.
Well, I would say that within the church there's some unfairness that, or things that look like unfairness. Ben Williams always used to quote somebody, and I don't know who he stole it from. It was Bill Hemrick or somebody. He stole the saying, if you want something done in a church, give it to done. Well, some folks in a church have everything. They're active everywhere, and you know who you are, and you're a blessing to everybody. But all of us have the same compensation plan.
Right.
Which is an opportunity for salvation.
Right.
But it's not, if I apply the world standard of fair, the peanut butter's not even.
Right.
And I'll say that.
Right.
That's an unfairness that I have people come to me with from time to time.
Right.
My reply is always, well, here, get to work. Here's some place that he's working. That part is very much the case. And if we look at the Bible, some characters growing up again and again and again.
Of course. And that brings me to my next point. Thank you. So what if we looked at it, Christianity, as unfair? Not unfair, but how about as a duty and a responsibility? And 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what will in the end be for them that do not obey the gospel of God? So that sounds like some duty and responsibility there. And I don't believe that God really cares about fairness as it relates to duty and responsibility there. We have a tremendous duty and responsibility to exemplify Christ in our daily life, and more so when circumstances are not in our favor, when we seem to think they should be in our favor. Difficulties, slander, and some of the other things that we know, we're all human and through life, and this is an opportunity. These are opportunities for us to exemplify Christ and for him to get all the glory from the unfairness that we experience. Is that anyone would, I think most of us would agree with that. Anyone disagree? Great. I looked up the definition of duty. This is a general definition. A moral or legal obligation or responsibility. A task or an action that someone is required to perform. Anyone want to add to that? Said it pretty self-explanatory as it relates to duty. How about responsibility? Oh, go ahead, James.
There's nothing in that about how I feel about it.
That's where I was going with this. Why are you answering all the questions? Every time I come up with James, I think you got a hold of my lesson before I put it up. But great, that's a good point. There's nothing about happiness. There's nothing about fairness. There's nothing about, you know, emotional satisfaction in that definition there, okay? And how about responsibility? I looked it up as well. Responsibility by general definition, the state or fact of being accountable or to blame for something. The state or fact of having a duty to deal with something or having control over someone. So, responsibility. Who are the elders responsible for? To a degree. Are they only responsible for themselves? They're responsible for their soul salvation, but as it relates to the general physical, are they only responsible for themselves? Not at all. So we see these words, and later on we'll get to some scriptural references that reference to that. Go ahead. Right, of course.
Absolutely. But it's beneficial for us.
Of course.
It's absolutely vital for members to be involved in the work and not like at a movie, where I'm at a movie.
Right.
Okay, here I am entertaining you. Let's get something going.
Right. Of course.
Not what we're here for.
Yeah. Anyone else want to comment? Of course. Thank you. So, Christians, now what are some specific scriptural references as it relates to duty? So, Acts 1:7, Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know times or epochs, which is a time scale, which the Father has fixed on his own accord. Ezekiel 12:13, fear God, this is the whole duty of man. 1 Corinthians 7:3, the husband must fulfill his duty to his wife and likewise also the wife to her husband. So once again, that's a strong word used there in scriptural reference for us as it relates to our growth, as it relates to our ability to affect those around. Because the one thing that I've noticed in my years in church and as I continue to mature and grow is that when you say that you're Christian, you best believe that people will hold you to it in everything you do and everything you say. And so it's important to, and I've failed in many times, of course, but it's always in the back of my mind and the conscience. What Paul say about his struggle with sin, I'm paraphrasing here, but everything I tell myself I should be doing, I find myself not doing. Everything I tell myself I should be doing, I mean I shouldn't be doing, I find myself doing. But he says all I can do is keep a clear conscience towards God, right? And so that's important for us to keep that in the back of our minds as we move through our daily lives, is that this is a huge duty and responsibility that we carry. And that's what the main focus of the lesson is tonight, is that carry it as a duty and responsibility as a wife and husband is duty to each other, sickness and health, the duty to raise our children in the church and teach them the ways of Christ. And I kept my son for like 8 hours for the first time a little while back. It's some hard duty there for a woman. So I have a different respect. I didn't have any, but I have a different kind of respect because it's duty. And I don't get to say I'm tired. You know, I have to go to work, right? I don't get to say my, you know. So anyway, so how about responsibility? Numbers 3:25. Now the responsibilities of the sons of Gershon in the tent of meeting involved the tabernacle in the tent, its covering and its curtain, the doorway of the tent of the meeting. Numbers 3:28. According to the number of every male from 1 month above, there were 8,600 keeping the responsibility of the sanctuary, and one of them got cut off. Sorry, that's Colossians 1:25. I have been appointed to serve the church in the position of responsibility entrusted to me by Christ. And so, we see responsibility and duty used throughout Scripture, and I highlighted those words because it changes the dynamics of the sentence. It can change the whole dynamics of the sentence because responsibility, that's a powerful word. And those entrusted with building the tabernacle, you see the responsibilities given to them. So those are just some references I wanted to refer to. And also I wanted to, as we get ready to close, so when I listen in the military, they beat into your head, finish the mission, accomplish the mission, accomplish the mission. Okay. And that's just what you train to do, right? Jim and some of us, you know, when you go overseas and you get a mission and everything that they pound into your head is accomplish the mission. And so some of our superiors would say, and if you think it's going to be fair, and if you think it's going to be easy, and if you think that you want to feel sorry for yourself for a second, he said, just think about what all the others had to go through before you. He said, it's your duty and responsibility to serve, and that's what, and it's a duty and a great responsibility for us to serve in God's kingdom, and we've been set apart. We're not just Christians because we look good, because we're smart, because we come from a good family. We're not Christians because, you know, someone told me about Christ and I opened up a Bible. God has said, chosen us and put us in a position. We're fortunate to have our right mind to be able to choose and be put in a position, and that we didn't leave the earth before we were not given that opportunity to become Christians. Some didn't get that opportunity and left this earth as non-Christians. And so it's a privilege and it's an honor to serve in God's community and kingdom. But and so in closing, we want to focus on the fact that Christianity, it was never meant to be fair. So let's focus on what we're here to do. And I want to refer to these last few scriptures that in John 6:38, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So Jesus had a duty and he had a responsibility to fulfill from his Father. Matthew 10:34, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And we know those scriptures pretty well. And Christ came with a duty. Christ came with a responsibility. Christ came with a focus. And so what is our focus? What should our focus be? And how can we focus on becoming better Christians? So anyone want to add to comment on that? Jim, I see you itching. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, on this idea of being fair or unfair, it seems incredibly unfair that Christ never gives us permission to harm anybody or to kill anybody. But he does say, you may have to suffer.
Right.
You may have to die.
Right. He does. That's a good point, James. Yeah, he says that directly, doesn't he? Yeah, and he said, "Well, no greater love than a man have has, and he laid down his life for a friend." So that's a scriptural reference to that, and I think that confirms that this Christianity was never designed to be fair. So when we move forward, oh, you want to go ahead? Right.
This is not that kind of, and so in many ways, I think the fact that it's not fair underscores the fact that this isn't a transactional relationship between us and God. If I do A, B, and C, then my reward is absolutely this, this, and that. It's a relationship, and mm-hmm. I think, as Jim said earlier, it's a family.
Right.
And we all got different families.
Yeah.
I think when you look at the things that are quote unquote fair, they're kind of pedestrian, they're kind of ridiculous, they're kind of beneath God, I have to say. God's not
right. Salesman. Correct. And so I want to encourage all of us to continue on in our daily efforts to be more Christ-like and focus on the glass half full, so to speak, and really understand the privilege we have and the responsibility we have, and take our minds off of some of the unimportant emotional unfair treatment, so to speak, as it relates to our Christianity. Oh, I went last week and I did it the week before and it's not my turn. And it's only right that we say those things because it's prevalent. It's prevalent, and we have to, and then we're human, and sometimes we get tired, and we get weary in doing things, and sometimes for Christ. And that attitude has to be controlled when we see that attitude creeping up, because that is not attitude of Christ. And the Bible says, do not grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary in doing good. And so it's important that we focus on that. And what does the Bible say about forgiveness? 70 times 7. And so, or 7, however many times it is. But so how many times do I, mow the grass for the church? How many times do I teach a Bible class? How many times do I do prepare meals for new mothers or funerals. I do it 70 times, 75 times if I'm physically able to do it. And we keep going to what? Accomplish the mission. So thank you all.